Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Now, if you toast a bagel, is it toast?
Yeah, it's a toasted bagel.
Yeah, but is it just toast?
I see what you mean. The bagel is... Well, if you overdo it, it would be toast in the colloquial sense of toast. Mm. That's what you're thinking of, isn't it?
Like, gosh, you're toast.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Good. Well, that seems... So we seem to have the levels balanced pretty well there. So
welcome to episode...
Well, I was going to play the sting first, if that's all right.
Yeah, go ahead. So welcome to episode... 23.
Now, this is going to be a good one this week, Ruth. And the reason being that you're away for 2 weeks. So for 2 weeks, there will be no Ruthie, me and my dad. I'm sure people don't want to hear me doing it on my own. So no Ruthie, me and my dad. And of course,
it just become my dad.
Yeah, just be my dad. And what is the point of that? And on the, I'm going to join you on the second week, because I can't afford to go away for 2 weeks. So
you should have seen the side eyes he gave me then.
So anyway, it's Ruthie, me and my dad, and this has got to last you for 3 weeks more.
And then keep supporting the podcast, so then maybe you can get to go on both weeks of the holiday next year.
Oh, I'm so looking forward to that. We've been listening in the car to Burt Bacharach. A compilation of Burt Bacharach tracks.
Yeah, what does it call it? The ultimate... The definitive
Burt Bacharach songbook. Because a lot of them were written in the 60s, it sort of pointed up 60s sexism. You were quite shocked.
60s sexism, a lovely little alliteration there.
Indeed. You were quite shocked at things like Wishing and Hoping, which was one of the Burt Bacharach songs.
Yeah.
You should, if you want to get a man...
You have to wear your hair.
Wear your hair just for him.
Because if not... You won't even notice you.
You've no chance. And then there were other things that Burt Bacharach wrote, like Wives and Lovers, although the lyrics written not by Burt Bacharach, written by...
Something David.
Hal David.
Hal David. Well, almost said Hal David, and then I thought...
No, you're going to be such an expert on 60s music by the time we finish. But the lyric written by Hal David for Wives and Lovers is all about how you should, before your husband comes home... Not only should you have his tea for him, you should go up and get changed into something seductive and wear makeup.
I'm not anyone's wife now, but I think when I am, I will definitely want to, you know, make sure all the food is ready and that, you know, I look nice. Because I think that is why divorce rates are so high. It's because we don't.
You're absolutely right. Absolutely right, Ruth. So we've been talking about that.
Well, yeah, I was just going to ask you about kind of sexism in the 60s. I know that a lot of the stuff has come out about how sexist it was recently, especially with the kind of...
Historic
sex abuse scandals and all those kind of things, and a lot of women coming forward and saying they were assaulted in the workplace and harassed and all that kind of thing. And I was wondering how much you felt like the world was sexist when you were living in it.
It's odd because you didn't really. It was sort of the norm as it was. Not sex abuse, not harassment, nothing like that. But the fact that there were sexist attitudes in songs, and I know because you were studying about the 60s at school, which is now ancient
history.
It's history. Well, it was history, and you watched Alfie. They gave you a list of films, didn't they?
Yeah, there was Kez was on there. Alfie was on there. Just a bunch of different films.
And I watched Alfie with
you. What's the one in the football, with the football?
football set in Yorkshire from the 60s.
Yeah, yeah, and then...
Oh, no, you mean This Sporting Life.
This Sporting Life, that's the one. Rugby League. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Rugby League, sorry. Yeah,
that is good.
That I liked that one.
Yeah, well, shot
apart from Cares, I liked that one best.
Shot in Wakefield.
I know, which is why it was especially important for us to watch.
Yeah.
That one's especially gritty.
That was when you were at school in Wakefield.
Yeah.
The thing is, because you were studying these films from the 60s, and I can remember This Sporting Life being a great film, I thought in my mind Alfie was a great film and there was nothing wrong with the attitudes in it. But when you watched it again and I sort of watched it while you were watching
it. Yeah, I had to make notes about things that I thought were... So Alfie calls all of them birds and he refers to them as it and them and not...
Well, that's what I mean about the 60s. I didn't for one minute think there was anything wrong with it particularly.
No.
But watching it now, I was quite shocked. But I'm always interested to see how other people tackle the generation gap. So I want to know, because I'm trying to flog this podcast to death.
It's a social experiment.
Interested to know that The Times did a father and daughter whole feature there. What happened when a millennial and her baby boomer father, so that's like me, that's a guy in his 60s, and it said, what happened when a millennial and her baby boomer father traded places? And I thought, wow, looks like they've got one up, because I want to make sure that we're ahead of the curve. And it's absolute nonsense. They trade places, it says. All that happens is she has an instant coffee like he drinks at home with two spoonfuls of Nescafe and some coffee creamer. And so she does that. He goes out and has an oat milk caramel latte. And that's what they call swapping lives.
Mm.
It was just absolute nonsense. So we don't have to worry. We're still way ahead of the game.
No, I did see some people talking about it really interestingly. And I mean, Caitlin Moran...
What, on the internet? Or?
Yeah, and I cannot remember where it was. And I meant to write it down and I didn't. And shoot me. But Caitlin Moran has talked about her, because her daughters are a little bit younger than me, but they're about 13 and 15, I think, if I remember
rightly.
And she's spoken a little bit about that, and she puts across some really interesting things about how to raise your children in a world where they've always going to have the internet and stuff. It's just interesting. And so I thought we'd talk a little bit about Caitlin Moran.
Yeah.
That was smooth, wasn't it? Was that not smooth?
We're not asking you to deconstruct it as you go along. It was smooth until you told us how smooth it was.
Smooth. Sir?
Yeah. Oh, you want a transition. Here we go, then. Tell me about Caitlin Moran.
Well, she's had an interesting conversation with Charlie XCX, and that was just...
Who's Charlie XCX?
See, look, I knew we'd have to do this. She's a singer.
Charlie XCX. How do you spell
Charlie XCX.
Right, so that's the name. Charlie XCX.
Charlie without an E, though. It's just C H A R L I.
Oh, that's understood, obviously, without an E. That would be so uncool. So it's Charlie XCX.
Yeah, and so they were having an interesting discussion about female nudity in art and kind of about the male gaze, which I think is something that feminism is sort of tackling at the moment. It's quite a subject.
The male gaze.
Yeah.
This is just men looking at women.
Yeah, but women being portrayed in art for men to look at. So
right.
It's
about talking about women walking down the street or building site workers whistling at them. We're
no,
not
no, that's
that.
That's catcalling. It's more of in art, women are portrayed for men to look at.
Yes,
sort of thing.
If you're talking about naked women in art, you're talking about things like Rubens and those sort of...
Some of
the French Renoir... Impression.
So, I thought the most interesting thing about this was it wasn't an article or anything. It was text messages that were screenshot and put on an Instagram story. So this is just an extract of it. Charlie XCX said to Caitlin Moran, "Would you ever pose nude for a photograph or a painting?" Caitlin Moran said, "I've been very, very firm that I'm going to be one of those kinds of women who keep their clothes on. I've spent since I was 18 being asked to do tasteful nude shoots for magazines and newspapers and documentaries, all of them saying things like, 'You speak the naked truth, which is why we think pictures of you being naked would be so powerful.' To which I would reply, 'George Orwell managed to speak the naked truth whilst wearing trousers, so I suspect I can too.' I wondered whether people in, I guess, the 80s, so when you're a bit older, whether women were allowed to kind of pose nude for photographs and stuff like that, or whether that's kind of a really new thing for women to be on stage and be quite like Lady Gaga and Katy Perry and stuff. They're always wearing barely any clothes.
That's not a new thing. Not a new thing. In fact, that's hardly changed. I mean, I can remember going to see movies like Savage Messiah, which was a Ken Russell movie, Helen Mirren, totally naked, you know, completely naked.
Helen Mirren.
Walked.
Scandalous?
Yeah, well, this is Helen Mirren when she was in her 20s. The film was made in probably late 60s, early
70s. I thought Helen Mirren had always been like 65.
No, interesting enough, Helen Mirren was a young woman once.
Who knew?
She was a young woman when I was a young man.
And, no, I did know that, actually, because I'd seen her on Graham Norton with Liam Neeson, because they used to date, didn't they? They used to go out and stuff.
Did they?
Yeah, they lived together for like a year and a half.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, something I didn't know.
Well.
But anyway, Helen Mirren was completely naked, a long scene. It was quite a shocking naked scene at the time, because whereas you often saw nudity in films, this was a mainstream movie, and she wasn't just naked. She walked, I don't know why I remember this so clearly, but she walked down a flight of stairs and towards the camera, totally naked from head to foot. Helen Mirren, yeah, very famous naked scene. In fact, this, if you want to look at sort of everyday sexism from the 70s, there is an interview on the internet, which is on YouTube, which Helen Mirren did with Michael Parkinson. And he did this interview where all he was interested in was asking her about taking the clothes off and the fact that she had quite large breasts. And it's quite embarrassing. So, as I've said, this is your last chance for a couple of weeks to hear Ruth's Leeds accent. Your charming voice.
I didn't even realise I spoke in it. I didn't, like, honestly, did not think I had an accent.
The amount of mail and tweets I get saying they love your Leeds accent, especially from expats from Yorkshire. They love your Leeds accent. They all find it very charming.
I didn't realise I had an accent.
You're not going to hear it.
I thought I was RP.
You're not going to hear it for a fortnight. So I thought I might ask you about this. There's an actress called Olivia Cook, and there's going to be something we're definitely going to watch. There's going to be an ITV adaptation, a big budget ITV adaptation of Vanity Fair, which I have read, actually, William Makepeace Thackeray.
I have not read it. Well, is it worth reading?
Very much worth reading. And she's playing the heroine, Becky Sharp. Olivia Cook said that she had to go to America. She had to launch her career in America because her northern accent... Not quite as charming as yours, but her northern accent.
Where's she from?
She's from Oldham in Greater Manchester.
Oh, right, so she's got a Manchester accent.
No, Oldham. Oldham say, the. Have I got the? She said because her northern accent, Oldham accent, prevented her getting big parts in the UK.
Really?
Yeah, so she's went to America. She was in Steven Spielberg's film Ready Player One.
I've not seen it. I wanted to, but...
And the black comedy Thoroughbreds, which I'm not familiar with at all.
No, I'm not. Mm-hmm.
Olivia Cook says that if she'd stayed in the UK, she would have been typecast as Maid Number 3.
Yeah.
So she wouldn't have got the part of Becky Sharp. That was interesting. I just wondered...
Yeah, I think just because, like, accents have so much of a tying to class...
In this country, yeah.
Whereas they don't so much. Also, you wouldn't. If I went to America, they wouldn't be able to place me as like a northern area.
No, they wouldn't.
And I think it's also because it's a thing that northern people have. They've not done it to themselves, but you can hear these people who are from the north, and then you hear them on TV shows. And I think even perhaps members of my family are guilty of this, of changing their accent when they move somewhere else.
Just to protect certain members of your family, your accent does soften. You know, once
it does
moved
soften.
Away from
yeah,
the
no,
area.
It does. But like,
because I'm Manchester, you know,
but
I speak Manchester.
Saoirse Ronan, is Irish. Her accent hasn't changed.
No, but the Irish accent tends to. I think Irish accents are classless. In a way that English accents aren't. That's where you get a lot of, you know, Celtic accents generally. It's where you get
Scottish accents as well, really. Yeah. I mean,
apart from Glasgow.
Yeah.
You get a lot of Irish and Scots people who work, you know, in my business. I'm a broadcaster.
In my business. You know who said something that I was like, oh yeah, that's quite interesting actually? Scarlett Moffat.
Geordie,
and she was on I'm a Celebrity and she's on Gogglebox and stuff, and she was saying you just don't hear regional accents ever on TV, and it's just quite off-putting.
I think you do now.
You don't hear them in piece of acting though, in drama. I think
you don't hear them so much in drama.
You hear them in news, and you hear them on reality TV.
And Keith Lemon.
obviously.
Keith Lemon, you realise you're the second most famous person with a Leeds accent after Keith Lemon.
What, on Mel B?
Oh, Mel B. Do your impersonation of Mel B again.
My Mel B impersonation is just my voice. But
yeah, go on then.
Hello, I'm Mel B.
Brilliant, brilliant.
No, I had something to say.
Let's move on to another topic, should we?
Oh, I was... this accents is good.
Go on then, if it's good.
No, it's not really that good. I was just going to say, and even when they do this Olivia Cooke girl, I bet she found it frustrating that even when there were characters who were Northern, like the character that Anne Hathaway plays in One Day, they get Americans to play them who can't even do the accent.
Do you know, I think it's almost like a badge of honour with American actors and actresses to play English.
Yeah, but that wasn't even English. That was such a specific English accent. And she just...
She got it in parts.
In parts, it was almost okay. But it was the fact that it's important to that character that she's from Leeds, and because she's Northern and she's not as posh as him.
Do you know what I might do? I might ask my personal friend David Nichols if he objected to Anne Hathaway in the movie. Because I suspect...
When he says personal friends, he means they're friends on Facebook.
I suspect David Nichols would have been happy to have some, and there are lots of actresses with Leeds accents. You know, all the actresses from the Leeds Playhouse and places, and Maxine Peake. But he was probably even happier when they put Anne Hathaway in. Became a bigger movie, and he got.
I get that. The money I do for get it. Like, I understand that you need someone who's famous to sell a show, and like it really does help.
We'll do another topic now. I'll just do a couple of the emails, and we have got loads. If you do want to email us, I do like the
loads.
Interaction.
No, but we have got loads. We've got like 15, maybe.
Maybe.
Altogether.
But bless you for sending them. No, that's mark my words, that's loads. I did mention that I was a broadcaster, and in this day and age, who sits down and writes an email? Mm. You've got text, you've got Snapchat, you've got WhatsApp, you've got tweets, you've got Facebook messages, you've got all that. These people, and bless them, have sat down and written us an email. So if you do want to email us, and you know, we are appreciative of it. You're mocking me for not being appreciative, just sending one-word replies. You're the one that's not appreciative. So sit in the corner for 5 minutes.
Well, yeah. Well,
if you do want to send us an email, and I
appreciate it. I've been replying.
Yes, you have. I have, in fairness. martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com. So it's martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com, which is the address to which Neil Vicker has kindly written. We were talking catchphrases last week. Very important.
A lot of people have made me aware that it's not my catchphrase.
You wanted your new catchphrase to be...
You're not wrong there.
But unfortunately, it was in an Alan Partridge show. I mean, you may have... And that's actually before your time. So
I've not heard that. No. I've just...
Because you're not really that familiar with Alan Partridge, are you?
No, I didn't even know he was Alan Partridge. Well, to be honest, I thought Alan Partridge and Steve Coogan were separate people.
No, it's a character played by Steve Coogan, and he did a show called Knowing Me, Knowing You on the TV, and he had a guest. It was like a spoof chat show. I had a guest called Keith Hunt, played by Patrick Marber, and Keith Hunt in this show said, "Am I right?" And all the audience said, "You're not wrong." So you've stolen somebody else's catchphrase. Thank you, Neil Vicker, for pointing that out to us. However, Alan Holford in the emails has raised another interesting topic. This is the guy you replied to. Because you were talking about drugs last week, and you were saying, yes, we both agreed on legalising cannabis, but you said more serious drugs ought to be still illegal. And he says, "I do disagree with Ruth regarding not legalising all recreational drugs, as some of them are very dangerous," you said. "All the evidence suggests this is exactly why you should legalise them, because of the danger of them, when the purity and access to dosage can be controlled by government, perhaps with purchase access being allowed via a special ID card, etc. That would make them safer." He says, "As a vet, we use methadone daily in old patients." I mean, he doesn't mean the owners, he means the actual...
Yeah, he just puts down like him. It's Harold Wilson. Was he the one who put down old people?
Harold Shipman. It's a good job we're doing this podcast because you're learning all sorts.
Harold Wilson was the Prime Minister, wasn't he?
Harold Wilson was the Prime Minister, born in Huddersfield, MP for Highton, Prime Minister in the 1960s.
There's a statue of him outside Huddersfield train station.
Yes, there is, that's right.
Yeah. Harold Shipman put down old people.
Put down old people. Alan Holford, who sent us an email, doesn't put down old people. At least, certainly not.
Maybe he's not. He doesn't actually specify.
No, he doesn't. And he does have the drugs that could do that. He says, as a vet, we use methadone daily in old patients, i.e. old pets. And we do so safely, he says. The safety margin is still wide. And I think his main point is that if these dangerous drugs were legalised,
you could control the drugs with dosage and stuff, which is kind of a similar vein as to helping people with heroin addictions by giving them clean needles.
He's right that it would reduce crimes, it would reduce things like people trafficking.
Probably, but you don't actually know that. Like,
I think you do.
There's not...
So much crime is heroin-based.
But then would you legalise all drugs? I think so.
You know, I mean, they would have... But it's not going to happen because nobody in Parliament dare say it. It's a driving force behind criminals wanting to co-opt others into gangs.
Yeah, with the gangsters.
Yeah, and we're seeing this thing now. Country Lines have seen that, where they're getting youngsters to go out into county towns. And do that sort of thing.
Yeah, and also that you spend so much... Police officers have to spend so much time with drug-related crime. But then he says the stuff about purchase being allowed via a special ID card with retinal scan / fingerprint at chemist. I hate the idea of anything that has a universal system of ID cards or fingerprints. Just gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Well, I think that's...
Because if you've read The Handmaid's Tale...
Well, I know dystopian fiction, there's all that sort of stuff.
Handmaid's Tale, that's how they get them, because then they can control your money and what you have access to and your medication and all that kind of stuff, just because they've got everyone's fingerprints, and then you can start framing people for things they don't... I don't like it.
Yeah.
Don't like it, Alan.
No, I can see that is a real problem, and I think it's a really valid... I think two things. One, you've probably read too much dystopian fiction. Two, it's something that does frighten people.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's lighten the mood.
Should we play mine first this week?
Yeah.
Well, we were listening in the car to Dusty Springfield, were we not? And I was telling you that Dusty Springfield, you know, we think of her as a great soulful singer. She was actually in a folk country band before she was famous as a soulful singer in the 60s. And I thought you might like a sample of the sort of thing that she did. So this was Dusty Springfield back before she was Dusty.
Under the streets and the gay crowded places, trying to forget you, but somehow it seems my thoughts ever stray to our last sweet embraces over the sea on the island.
Well, just slightly more than 20 seconds for review purposes. That was the Springfields and their big hit. They did a couple of hits in 1961, so way before it's pre-Beatles pop. You know, I'm a bit of a lover of pre-Beatles pop. Do you want to know what her real name is? It wasn't Dusty Springfield.
Go on.
Her real name is Mary Isabel Catherine Bernadette O'Brien.
Oh my gosh, how many names does she want?
And she was a Catholic, can you believe that?
Oh, shocker.
Shocker.
She sounds so American on that song. Yeah,
well, I think it was sort of like an American folk. The thing about Dusty is that she was quite tortured. After she made this great album, Dusty in Memphis, 1969, people thought she was black because she was recording proper soulful stuff in Memphis.
Yeah.
But after that, she disappeared for about 10, 12 years. She was in a haze of drugs and alcohol. She went to live in America until she was rediscovered by the Pet Shop Boys. But there she was. I thought I'd just play that for you because the idea of this is I introduce you to stuff. And that was Dusty Springfield before she was Dusty. Her brother was in the band with her as well.
A biopic about her, Dusty before she was Dusty.
Yeah, she had a lot of very bad, quite abusive relationships with other women. You know, abusive.
Really?
Yeah, on her behalf.
She abused other women?
Well, sort of abused them by throwing crockery at them. She was a great crockery thrower.
Physically abused them?
Yeah, physically throwing. She was forever throwing crockery around. When you read any story, it always, everything culminates in her throwing a tea service at somebody. So that's mine, that's Dusty. You're introducing me to something. Tell me about this.
I'm introducing you to Brockhampton.
Right.
Who are a boy band, but not... they call themselves kind of like... Well, I've heard other people call them kind of anti-boy band.
Anti-boy. Should we have a listen then?
Yeah. My hands are I let go. My mouth is getting cold. I know they come and go. La, 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 la. My wrist is stuck on froze. Places that I can't go. Niggas that I don't know. La, 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 la. My hands are I let go. My mouth is getting cold. I know they come and go. La, la. See, to me, Brockhampton is a town in the Cotswolds. You know, I can remember the Brockhampton County Fair. Surprisingly, they're not from the Cotswolds.
Brockhampton isn't a town in the Cotswolds. It sounds like it should be.
So that was...
But it's only one guy on the video.
No, it's not, Dad.
Ah, the bit that
there's
I saw...
There's a whole bunch of them.
Right.
You must have watched a bit of the video.
Well, I saw that bit where it was the guy, just a black guy, sort of rapping. Are they all black?
Yeah, they're a black boy band.
Is that just pop, or would you describe it as...
No, I kind of describe it in that rap, pop area. Yeah. That was the song 1999, Wildfire.
Yes, it was.
Which is not their most popular song at all, and it's probably not their best song either. Their more popular song is a song called Bleach, which has got like 28 million downloads on Spotify and stuff. But anyway, that one is brand new. It was released on July 7th, 2018, so that's fresh for you.
Fresh, ladies and gentlemen. Although this podcast does have to last people 2 weeks.
Yeah, so it won't be so fresh.
No, it won't.
And all those songs will be on our Spotify, which you can type into Spotify, Ruthie, Me and My Dad, to get the playlist, or just Martin and Ruth, and that'll bring you to our account and then the playlist.
Wait no longer, Love Island fans. What's been going on? The other night, I was struck by the way you'd been watching. I was sitting in the kitchen, you'd been in the living room watching Love Island, and you came out and you said, "That was great television."
It is good TV. I didn't say television, though.
TV. All right, you said, "That is great TV."
Yeah. It is good TV. Like, if you did watch it, I don't think anyone can disagree with the fact that it's good TV.
What was so entertaining about
and
the one you
watched? It's well edited as well.
All right, what was it so entertaining about the one you watched the other night?
I've turned on Georgia.
I know, you hate Georgia.
I hate Georgia now. No, but in the last podcast, I'm pretty sure I was singing Georgia's praises. And now I'm...
Well, I do, because
I almost like Megan.
So what's wrong with Georgia?
Charlie and Ellie were dumped from the island, and then Georgia and Sam and Wes and Megan were stood there because they were the three couples with the lowest amount of votes. And Caroline Flack went, "So, Charlie and Ellie have left, but you're not safe yet." And then the other couples had to choose which of the two couples that they saw that would go the distance in their relationship and have the best, strongest relationship. And so they chose Wes and Megan, and then Caroline Flack says, "But Sam and Georgia, you don't have to leave. I'm trying to do Caroline Flack, but I don't even know what she sounds like. And Sam and Georgia could either stay together but would have to leave Love Island, or could separate and not be in a couple anymore, and they wouldn't be able to recouple in the next recoupling, but they would get to stay in the Love Island villa.
Wow.
So they chose to stay in the Love Island villa, and then everyone was like, Georgia, Sam, you've completely fake. You say, and Georgia, you say how loyal you are, and she's always like, I'm loyal, babes, I'm loyal.
She's always saying loyal, isn't she?
But she's, yeah. Loyal. Did you see all the things where she was like, I was made in the Loyal Navy, and like her face on like a chicken royale, but they changed it to chicken loyal.
Right. So it's, she keeps saying yeah, yeah. She's loyal, and there are lots of
and
memes
then everyone now, being like, you're not loyal, babes.
Yeah. So she's in the it's loyal, funny. Loyal Navy. Yeah, I can see it. That's a picture, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there was one that was like, said my first word at 1, started chatting shit at 7, Tracy Beacon mad by 11, loyal at 16, 18, I worked nights at a bar, but then I stopped pouring shots and started pushing myself. I was born in England, but I was made in the Loyal Navy. That's all, really.
Let's move on. And see if anything's happening with the Kardashians. It's been
nothing.
Nothing again. Are they out of...
Slow news? No, I mean, there is a couple of things. So Kim Kardashian has shared a video showing her sprawled on a sun lounger in a white bikini to promote her fruity new perfume line.
Right, she's got a fruity...
There you go.
What's it called, her fruity new perfume line?
Don't know, it didn't say.
Okay, fair enough.
Kourtney, who we don't often talk about really,
no.
Kourtney Kardashian, is frustrated with boyfriend drama over sexy pictures but vows not to stop. Kourtney Kardashian is reportedly frustrated with her boyfriend after he raised eyebrows with his Instagram comment bringing down her sexy holiday pictures. The model, 25, appeared to throw shade at his long-term girlfriend, Kourtney, with his comment, "That's what you need to show to get likes."
That is very, very dull, Kardashian-wise. And Kourtney Kardashian, does she spell Kourtney just like with a C? Proper
no, with a K. Obviously, they've all got K names.
I know.
Kylie, Kourtney, Kendall, Chloe, Kim.
But Kourtney doesn't look right with a K. I was thinking...
Dad, I really don't think Kourtney Kardashian cares.
Who's your favourite Kourtney? It'd be Kourtney Cox.
Arquette. Yeah.
Does she call herself Kourtney Cox Arquette?
It changes in one of the episodes of Friends.
Ah, really?
And then all the other people on Friends have Arquette put at the end of their name, and it's right. Funny. So it's like Matthew Perry Arquette.
Kourtney Pine?
I don't know who that is.
He's a saxophonist.
Oh, he?
He's a jazz musician, yeah.
A man, Kourtney.
Yes, he is. And I used to play him a lot when I was on Jazz FM. And I always used to say, that's Kourtney Pine. So we had all our kitchen done out in Kourtney Pine. It's very, very classic.
Hilarious.
Thank you. And there are other Kourtneys as well. I'm trying to think of... there are, though.
This is just scintillating.
Sorry, who was the girlfriend of Kurt Cobain? Kourtney Love.
Don't know who that is either. I know who Kurt Cobain is, obviously.
Well, Kourtney Love was his girlfriend. So there you are.
This is so boring.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Three Kourtneys. Well, this will be the bit that gets cut out. Don't worry about it. This is a meme of the week, but it's not only a meme of the week. It's a bagel-related meme of the week.
It's bagel day. It's not bagel day today.
No.
I don't know when bagel day is. Anyway.
It's every day for you. You like a bagel for your breakfast. People
sometimes.
Need to know. You quite a lot, though, don't you?
Only when I'm off school. I don't really have a bagel when I'm at school.
Sometimes you do if you've got plenty of time.
If I've got, yeah, but I don't usually.
Sometimes you
Wednesdays.
Yeah.
So it's in brackets, after I cut a bagel. Would you like the side that is somehow 3 times larger than the original bagel, or the side that is the first object ever to have only 2 dimensions?
That I can identify with that, because it is hard to cut a bagel.
It's so hard. And why is it so hard?
I don't know. But it's because...
You have to have it flat. It's that across cut that's difficult.
It's very difficult to get a bagel exactly right. Yeah.
And I've also tried the technique of sort of cutting it halfway and then changing the knife to the bagel to the other side and then cutting it. But then you end up with a wavy bagel. Yeah. A wavegull.
Well, it's almost time for us to say let's sack it off, which I'm afraid you're going to have to stick with.
I don't even like it. I said it one time.
Yeah, I know, but then we did get mail about it. Mark Campbell says, he's told me about the Alan Partridge thing where it's, you're not wrong. He's told us about that. So he says, it looks like you're going to have to stick with sack it off. And Hugh says, he thinks we're bickering more lately. He thinks I'm taking a bit of a firmer line with you. But I think he might be right, because sometimes, you know, I will accept you just demeaning me, but sometimes I fight back.
Sometimes you demean me.
But right now it is time to say...
goodbye.
No, you know what it is. You started it. It's your catchphrase.
No, it's not my catchphrase.
It's time to...
sack it all.
It certainly is.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.